This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
That's right, you're listening to the World Wide Wave. You're here tonight with Shannon, myself, and Heath.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Heath. Thank you to Gen X, Dylan, that was fantastic. Another great show. And Robert on the front desk for taking his calls. Tonight, we are talking to Jared Baker from the UK, who is part of the UK Antarctica-based team. He's a chef. He's worked for the BBC and basically is a huge Antarctica activist. He's worked various jobs. He basically has worked on BBC wildlife documentaries and is a huge promoter of their wildlife. Heath, how do you feel about that?
Sounds amazing. Like, who would have thought that there was a gay scene in Antarctica?
A gay scene. Let's go.
And what's more, that you managed to actually find the person that could talk about
it. I'm like a gay whisperer.
I know. I mean, I'm amazed. I'm impressed.
Oh my gosh, there's also a report that we'll be talking about later, which talks about sort of like sex in extreme circumstances and situations, including outer space, which we are also looking at in World Wide Wave. And it does have a huge focus on Antarctica and how it all sort of works.
Well, if you can get Antarctica, I mean, the next place to go would be the, you know, deep sea or,
or you know, the it can only go up from here. Oh, excellent. So what song have you got lined up for us?
Oh, Ice House.
Oh, nice.
Yes, Great Southern Land.
Fantastic.
Melbourne's most lovable station is now giving you more reasons to listen. Joy 94.9.
Download the Joy smartphone app now at joy.org.au.
Welcome back to World Wide Wave. That was Ice House with Great Southern Land. We're going to jump straight into fun, fast facts. First of all, we'd like to do a special announcement for World Wide Wave anchor and journalist Squirrel Maine. She is a mum. She and her partner are now the proud parents of the newest Joy member, Daniel Nicholson.
Congratulations, Squirrel.
Oh, I think it's quite cute.
I know, it's awesome. I mean, imagine having a mother with the name Squirrel. That would be awesome.
It would be awesome. Squirrel's a pretty awesome person.
She is. I've met her several times and I just love it. Love her.
I can't believe she didn't name her child after me, though. I mean, Shannon works both ways, really.
It is a unisex name.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's accepting of all people. It's like the United Nations.
Indeed.
Only less aggressive.
Less aggressive, indeed.
Oh, so Heath, are you going to tell us about gay penguins?
Yes. Now, the Daily Telegraph reported on an Edwardian notebook that described the sexual activities of the Antarctic penguin. The text was compiled by George Murray Levick, a scientist with the Scott Antarctic expedition, and it contains details of homosexuality, pederasty, necrophilia, and rape.
Oh, penguins.
I know. I mean, I just thought, I used to think that they were these cute little things, you know, that were graceful underwater and a bit clumsy on land. But no, they've got some pretty nastiness behind them. In the Antarctic summer of 1911 to 1912, Levick observed the breeding cycle of the Adelies colony at Cape Adare. To his horror, he witnessed male penguins attempting to make love to the long-dead bodies of females, males getting it on with other males, and coercive sex acts with females and chicks that sometimes led to violence and death.
Oh, my God.
That sounds... Oh,
oh that's...
I've got to put a... Penguins are in a completely different light to me now.
That is quite horrific.
I know. Who
Welcome to our Antarctica special. Okay, in the article Outer Space and in Antarctica, Sexuality Factors in Extreme Environments, we've basically got a leader of an all 28 male Antarctica expedition from Australia from 1947 to 1966. And they established the country's three Antarctic stations. And speaking at an Australian international conference on women in Antarctica, they said, and I quote, "So far as I know, there was no overt homosexuality in our stations. We, of course, went to some pains to avoid homosexuals in the selection process. I heard that one man, a bisexual ex-naval rating, did some soliciting early on, but there were no takers, so that all sort of fizzled out." Still quoting, by the way. "Whether there was any covert homosexuality, I would not know, but it would have been very difficult at a station to have a secret liaison. And I was never informed by any of our men that anyone knew of anything of that sort happening." Wow.
But do you think that they would actually, you know, acknowledge that, though? Or is it kind of like in prison where it's all kind of behind closed doors?
I think they knew it would have been going on, but nobody really wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
because, aren't they stationed there months at a time?
They are, sometimes up to 17 months.
Exactly. I mean, they've got to do something with their sexuality while they're up down there.
It's so true. And also, during our hunt for gays in Antarctica, we did send out various emails to the different bases who, you know, I think there are about seven countries with bases down there, and one was New Zealand's Scott base. So we talked to the New Zealand Antarctica program, and they declined an interview, sending an email instead, thanking us for our inquiry. And they tell us that we do not collect this kind of information from our staff in Antarctica, so they are unable to help us. They did, however, recommend that we try contacting the American program.
Yes, because the Americans are going to be far more open about this.
Of course, especially if their don't ask, don't tell policy.
I know, they're going to be so much more open.
That's fantastic. Look, we're going to go to another song. Heath, what have you got lined up?
Ice, baby.
Oh, my God. The best Antarctica song ever.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Click on the podcast tab via the new Joy website for the best of Joy. joy.org.au.
VIP. Let's kick it.
Ice, ice, baby. Ice, ice, baby.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a
chunk.
Hola, mi nombre es Félix de Colombia. You are on World Wide Web on Joy 94.9.
This is Audrey Cochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the World Wide Wave.
You're on the World Wide Wave, that's right, with Shannon and Heath. We are a show about LGBT issues all over the globe, and tonight we're stopping off on the frozen continent, Antarctica. If you have any questions about what's going on or the issues facing Antarctica, by all means, you can SMS us on 0427-JOY-949. You can phone in on 1300-JOY-949. Email us on air at joy.org.au or join us on Facebook. Tonight,
and which is?
It is World Wide Wave.
Awesome.
Look it up. It's great. I do really like our logo. I think it's, you know, dashing and lovely. We are talking to Gerard Baker. He is a chef by trade, a BBC correspondent by choice. He's talking about how he first got involved in the Antarctica program.
Awesome.
I'm very excited about this. It's a very good piece.
Awesome. So shall we...
Let's get into it.
All right.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
I'm from East Yorkshire, so top right-hand side of England.
Nice. So
yeah, beautiful little place.
I think I've been there, or I may have driven through there. Somebody drove
through
there.
Yeah, we're just sort of east of York, but on the seaside. So I look over fields to the sea in a little village. Very pastoral, very rural England.
So
a long way from Antarctica.
Yeah, how did you end up in Antarctica?
Well, there? I was, I'm a chef, and I was cooking in a castle, of all places, nearby, and one of the cleaners at the place said, oh, my friend came round last night, he works in the Antarctic, and you like the outdoors, and you're young and a good chef, and why don't you apply for a job there? So... scroll forward a few months, and this guy got in touch and said, look, if you would like to go, he works for the British Antarctic Survey, which is a government-funded research organisation here in the UK, and we are short of chefs. If you'd like to apply, you know, send us your form. So I applied, had the interview, and walked out of the interview with a job. They gave me it there and then. So it was quite a quick process for me. And I've worked in the Antarctic now for about 16 years on and off, so, around the whole continent, really. I've been very, very lucky. It's a wonderful, spectacular and amazing place.
Oh, my God. So how long have you been working there?
Well, I started in 1996, and I was there about 6 weeks ago, and I'll be going back hopefully next year. I'm not sure yet. I'm still getting my feet on the ground after the last trip, but continue to apply for different jobs in different places so I can see more of the continent. And, I absolutely adore the place. So I always hope that I could go back. And as long as I'm fit and healthy, I will do.
Oh, fantastic. So what jobs do you do in Antarctica?
Well, I've worked in all sorts of places, really. Firstly, as a chef on a government research station, so that's catering for anywhere between 20 and 150 people, sometimes with another chef, sometimes on my own. And we do everything from breakfast goods, we make all the bread, we do a breakfast selection, you know, homemade yogurt, bread, compote, porridge, that kind of thing. We do lunch for vegetarians and non-vegetarians. We do cakes, afternoon cakes, as well as morning cakes, and then dinner. But we work a sort of 24-hour on, 24-hour off system so that we've got time to prep, get our stores together, because we have to have a lot of food stored in case we have a disaster or we have good sea ice and the boats can't get in to relieve us. So that's great. The research station stuff is brilliant. You meet lots of people from all around the world, scientists and non-scientists alike, and there's a good work ethic usually. And then other places I've worked, I worked as a crew on a yacht filming the Blue Planet series for the BBC, which was a wildlife documentary about the world's oceans. So I was on one of the Antarctic yachts that filmed everything from albatrosses to killer whales and things like that.
That was an amazing program, by the way.
Oh, it was fantastic. I really loved that. I was only on for about 3 months on this little yacht bobbing about around South Georgia, which is sort of sub-Antarctic, really. But that was wonderful. We made we had lots of fun doing that. It was just insane on the yacht. But, you know, with a very small crew, it was good fun, very, very good teamwork. And then I've worked at a post office, a museum that the British maintain down on a little island on the left-hand side, the west of the Antarctic Peninsula. It's a little heritage site that the UK Heritage Trust, Antarctic Heritage Trust, runs. So I was a postmistress for a few months there, looking after tourists and making some money for the trust. And they raise money to restore the historic sites all over the Antarctic. ago, and it's not long since really the heroic age was in its full rush. So it's fantastic. You can go back and you can see artifacts. You can. It feels like those people are still very much present on the continent, even though that they've all died now. But and then most recently, I was involved in a conservation project working on South Georgia again.
Okay.
So I spent quite a bit of time deep field working for Antarctic Logistics and Expeditions, which is a private operator that runs expeditions and climbing trips right in the middle of the Antarctic, really, in the Ellsworth Mountains. So that was great fun. But as a chef, you can travel, you can work all over the Antarctic and anywhere else, really. But if you have a love for it, you know, well, why not?
Have you just stayed working for the UK groups, or have you branched into, say, Chile, or...?
I've worked, it's very difficult to work for a government that you're not a national of. And so I can work easily for the British. They tend to employ Brits.
Okay.
They have some exchange programs, for example, with the Australians, but they tend to only employ their own nationals. Just because the demand is quite high for jobs, so you tend to get sort of first preference. I've worked out of southern Chile and southern Argentina, going to the Antarctic from either on cruise ships or through the private operator I worked for, but it's usually run by the government or a British company.
Joy 94.9, Australia's best radio station.
I think that is so impressive. With all of that, with a trade.
I know. I love the way that he called himself the postmistress. No, isn't that amazing?
Where cooking for a living can take you. You can become a postmistress.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, geez. I mean, especially when he's talking about being part of that group which takes people on adventure tours through, you know, Antarctica. I mean, I can't imagine anything cooler. I remember talking to him about it and thinking, oh my gosh, is there a way he could cut me a deal? And it was terrible, but I want to go. I mean, just, you know, the way he explains Antarctica and the passion he talks about it, especially when he talks about the environment, it's just so empowering. You're just like, that is so good to hear that people who are involved down there do generally give, you know, they give 100%.
Yes, because I know that what I've, certainly the impression I was under is that the environment sort of took a second-hand place. Like, they would go down, do all their research, but do a lot of damage to the environment while they were there, like leave a lot of rubbish
really?
Behind and stuff like that. But it sounds like from what you're saying that they don't do that anymore.
Well, I mean, I know humans, what have we got down here? Oh, look. Basically, it was, for a long time, they didn't think that Antarctica actually did exist. Sort of, it was just this great big mystery island, which could exist, but it didn't. And as soon as, when they discovered Australia, they did think that Australia was the most southern landmass.
So it's kind of like Atlantis.
Ooh, kind of. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, Antarctica, I mean, humans have been down there. I mean, you are looking at, I think the 1700s was the first.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
It was first kind of talked about, and then you move into the 1800s, and that's when people were kind of looking at it.
I didn't actually realise we'd been there for so long.
Yeah, I mean, humans, they'll go everywhere.
Well, that's true. I mean, look how far we've spread around the world at the moment. You know, we're one of the most resilient species, aren't we?
That's right up there with cockroaches.
Well, did you think, yeah, I suppose some of us would last if we, if there's a nuclear holocaust, you know?
Kevin Rudd.
Yes. You had to go there.
I did, I'm sorry. Oh, no, that's fantastic. So next up, we are going to listen to Gerard talking about what it's actually like being gay in Antarctica and coming out to his family.
This is Eve from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
It's okay to a point. And I think I've been out for about 3 years now. I've not been out for all of my working life in the Antarctic. The response I've had has been pretty good, really.
Oh, that's great.
That time. I've had more support from my colleagues there than I have from my friends at home, which is interesting. But I think when you're living and working, I mean, for example, this last men and one woman. So it's quite an intense, potentially very male atmosphere. And I'm probably quite a big character. I am tall and relatively noisy. I'm not, you know, but being gay isn't the thing that is at the front of my agenda, really. When I'm on a trip like that, it's doing the job and getting on with people. There's not an awful lot of opportunity for relationships, obviously, you know, because it probably is the case that most of the people there are straight, because there's not too many gays in the Antarctic. But you know, there is, you know, the odd one or two, and that's all very nice. We get by. And I've not had any prejudice there. I've had more at home than I have there. So
really? What's the prejudice mean like at home?
Well, I live in a very small village in a very small rural part of the world. And I'm not here much because I'm usually either in the Antarctica or I'm cooking somewhere else. But it's difficult. It's hard to be out at home because my family aren't are very homophobic. So that's been more difficult for me. So it's easier for me to go away and work, really. When I'm here, I'm pretty much on my own. I get a break here, but I'm not able to be talk to my family about things.
Okay.
That's slightly odd.
So that's quite interesting to find out that it's harder back at home. Are there any LGBT issues in Antarctica?
Well,
other than the lack of LGBT people?
I'm not sure. For example, I don't think there is not necessarily a lack. I mean, I did have a difficult job one year when I was working in the museum and the heritage site with the post office. There were three of us there. There was one woman, she was the postmistress, and I was her assistant. And there was a man who was running our little outfit. He wasn't running it particularly well, and he was incredibly homophobic. And we had a situation where we had a cruise of a lesbian cruise ship come in, and it was full of lesbians, and they wanted to visit the research station heritage site, and he thought that was great. Really, you know, he was very excited about all these women coming to see him. He's a delusional man. But he wouldn't let a cruise ship of gay men come.
Really?
And I was pretty shocked at that, really. And he just wouldn't answer their radio calls, because everything's on radio there. So he wouldn't let the gay men come, but he would let the lesbians come.
Did he think he was going to turn them?
He was very. There was a lot of talk about turning the lesbians, and obviously, we just thought it was hysterical. I mean, it was just insane. But of course, you know, when someone is that delusional, and you know, I'm not sure that he was aware that I was gay at the time. He certainly does now. But me and the other my other colleague Sally, we just laughed so much at him, and he couldn't. He didn't understand why we thought it was funny or odd, but he was very delusional, and it was just shocking, really, because he spilled out so many prejudices about not just about gay men but lesbians as well. You know, I couldn't. You know, it was funny, but I think just going back to the government, I think they're obviously, if you're working for a government operation, they're. I think we've had women in the Antarctic in the British sector now for 20 or 30 years, and only since 1996 women allowed to overwinter. So that's quite a new thing. And there's a lot of prejudice against women in the older scientists, and they've more or less all died off now. So women are very much a part of the Antarctic and the British side now, which is great. And you know, they fulfil roles from base commanders to chefs to steel erectors to carpenters, and that's great. I think being out and gay in the winter is probably very difficult because you're in a much smaller group, although I know people who have been. I followed a chef who was also gay, and he'd had a really good team relationship with his winterers, as I did with mine. So I'm sure it varies, but I don't think there are any specific issues. I think as long as you're upfront and honest about things, that's probably the the most sensible way to do it, really.
Fun people, fun shows. Joy 94.9.
I think that's is so... I don't think horrific is a word, but the part about feeling more at home in Antarctica than your home village, I think that's really sad.
It is so sad. Like, you know, it almost brought me to tears, you know?
Yeah, I mean, here is a grown man who is achieving so much, not just for himself, but, you know, he's helping the environment. He's representing the UK so well down in Antarctica, and his own family won't accept him for who he is.
I know. I mean, but unfortunately, that's a very common story around the world, around Australia, you know. Too many people can't look past someone's sexuality. You know, it's what they were saying in sports, you know. If you have a sports person who comes out, you know, you'll have this comment that if they do something well, the comment will be, oh, you know, they did well for a gay person. Or if they make a mistake, it's like, oh, well, there you go. I mean, it's because he was gay that he made that mistake.
I think also it's a gender thing as well. Like if a woman did something well, it's like, well, for a woman, she did very well. It's not exactly on her own merits.
Exactly. You know, I've never understood this, you know. You know, why can't we just accept people for who they are? And if you must judge someone, judge them for what they do, not
yeah,
what they are.
Yeah, for their character.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Also, I found it really interesting, this the postmaster's decision to allow the gay woman to arrive but not the gay men.
Yes. And, I mean, it sort of seems funny on the surface if you sort of... If you think about the, you know, turning the lesbians, that kind of thing, it might sound funny when you think about it, but if you kind of think where that's led to,
with the so-called gay cure,
the gay cures, the corrective rape,
yeah,
you know, which happens, you know, and that's the kind of mindset that leads to,
yeah.
You know, I mean, biggest belief, like the logic that somehow raping a woman is going to convert her back to being
maybe she'll off. Fall into the hetero line now. Look, she's just had this happen to her. Surely this is what it was waiting for.
Exactly.
I mean, not the charming man that she grew up next door, and you think, no, we'll have to do this corrective therapy.
Yeah, there's a traumatic thing, you know. If anything, it's going to lock her into being...
Yeah, I mean, you know, any grey area has just definitely been cleared.
Oh, exactly. You know, I mean, it's just the I just can't get my head around the way that some people think, you know. It really makes no sense to me.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And this wouldn't have been the first time this man would have been homophobic around Gerard either. I mean...
Exactly.
There would have been, obviously, I am assuming, there would have been snide comments, all of that stuff, which generally goes with that. And it's just a shame that you have to be so good-humoured about it.
Exactly. I mean, you shouldn't have to. Like, you know, it's sometimes when I jokingly say to someone who's made some stupid "that's so gay" comment or something like that, you know, and I start, you know, saying, you know, oh, from now on, I'm just going to say, oh, that's so straight or that's so insert pronoun here, you know.
I do enjoy that conversation when people go, I think I did talk about it with a younger cousin when they did refer to, oh, you know, my school bag's so gay. I was like, that is the biggest homosexual school bag I've ever seen. This is true. Well done.
Exactly. And putting it into context, you know.
Yeah. I was met with this this deaf stare. I was just like, I'm sorry you said it.
Well, you know, I mean, you've got to... Sometimes it just comes down to ignorance. You know, they don't necessarily know what they're saying. And they come... You know, they often come back and say, oh, I didn't mean it that way. And it's like, well, why did you say that then? You know?
Oh, yeah. And... But, you know, they won't say it to you because obviously you're now their friend, but they'll say it to other people.
Exactly. Or the worst is they'll say something and they'll see you there and they'll go... Oh, no offence.
We're still best friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Totes. Oh, my goodness. All right, Heath, what's up next?
Well, we've got a song.
Oh, fantastic. What are we going with?
We've got Duran Duran.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, My Antarctica.
Oh, beautiful. And you will stay
here with me. Hi, everyone. My name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy. And lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
This is Nikki from Canada, where everybody can get married. You're listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. Hi, guys. Welcome back. We're now going to go back to Gerard as he continues to talk more about what it is to be gay in Antarctica.
Have your say. SMS 0427 Joy 949.
I met some Canadians working in, well, they were working for this sort of international group in the middle of the Antarctic who were gay. Yes, a couple of Australians actually, who were again working as scientists through this international group that I used to work with, at Adventure Network. I think it is odd because it's difficult enough sometimes at home, but when you can feel very exposed in the Antarctic if you're the only gay in the camp.
The only gay in the village.
If you know what I mean. Yes, you're the camp gay. You think, oh, yeah. But, and sometimes it, you know, you can walk into a room where someone's obviously sharing a joke about something and they think you would disapprove because you have maybe higher moral standards, or you might be offended if they're laughing at something on a DVD that is a joke about a woman or a gay man or something like that. But actually, you know, we can all laugh at ourselves, and I think sometimes you just need to be, you need to crack a joke about yourself sometimes to let people know that it's okay to laugh and be, you know, and not be so uptight about the fact that you are gay and you might be offended by things. You have to loosen your own standards a little bit when you're in such a small group, because of, you know, it can be very intense in that kind of relationship. You know, when you're sharing tents, you're sharing shower rooms with people, you're, you know, communal bathrooms or communal living, you have to be sensitive to what other people might be thinking, I think, at some time. And just give people a bit of extra room. And I don't have a problem with that, really. You know, I'm not going to jump into bed with the next rusty, tufty scientist or the next field director that, you know, happens to walk around the corner. It's you know, being away, there are opportunities for relationships, but it's something that I think generally I've avoided when I've been in the Antarctic, because it can be a little bit too intense, and it's better just to enjoy the Antarctic for itself and do all that other stuff somewhere else, really.
Call 1-300-JOY-949 and connect with your community. Joy 94.9.
That was Gerard Baker talking about Antarctica from his home in the UK. What I found quite interesting there was his choice to not say no to relationships, but to basically go, look, I'm going to be here for maybe 3 to 17 months, and if things get awkward, is it going to like impact how we work together?
That makes sense. It's kind of like, you know, with any, like with being in a relationship with anybody in the workplace.
Yeah.
But the difference is that in this workplace, you know, you
there
can't
is
really
no escape,
escape them. Yeah.
There is no escape.
It's not like you can quit and get another job, you know.
I will just move down to the next space.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't do that. Argentina's fighting with Chile.
Exactly.
We've had some messages in from Johnny. Shaz, are you American? Johnny, I have been to America, but I'm not American.
Yes, because, you know, we both had this American twang about
you
us,
do,
don't
Heath.
We?
You yes. do. Republican or Democrat, where do you go?
Exactly.
Straight to politics. Gosh, I need a social life. We've got a message from Matt. Fascinating show, guys. Well done. Being out and gay in such a harsh environment would be a real challenge. I think Gerard has definitely felt that. What does one do for sex? Do you sign up for celibacy, or is there someone anonymous hanky-panky going on with straight guys? Matt, I believe Gerard just answered that question.
I do like the fact that he didn't put hanky-panky, but hanky-pinky. You know, it's like, how is hanky-pinky different from hanky-panky? Is it a little bit, you know, a little bit as a gay form of hanky-panky, maybe?
Maybe it is. Maybe this is a lost in translation moment. Oh, we've got a message from Rebecca. Hey, guys, great interview tonight. What a great guy to be isolated with people who clearly don't have exposure to people who are different to themselves. How boring would it be if we were all
My
the same?
Station.
How boring would it be? It'd be pretty intense. And also another message from Rebecca. Loving the music tonight. The music person has been really creative. Who doesn't love a bit of 80s music? Yeah, Duran Duran.
I know. Hey, you can't go beyond Duran Duran.
You can't. I am totally lost in Ordinary World. It's a great song.
Excellent.
Oh, look. Up next is Gerard talking more about the culture of Antarctica, what it's like to actually be there and why he's gone back for so many years.
That sounds very interesting.
All right, Heath.
If you want robots on air, listen to someone else. Joy 94.9 is real voices, real radio.
What do you guys do in your downtime?
We do a lot of skiing and walking. It depends where we are, but usually there's opportunities for getting out on boats, seeing wildlife, you know, whale watching, diving. I mean, I've dived there. And in the winter, obviously, the sea freezes, so you can ski out on the sea ice.
Oh, fantastic.
Go and visit other Antarctic stations, maybe. So, yeah, we had an Argentinian station about 60 miles from my winter station, and they came over the sea ice to see us, which was fantastic. Made some really good friends with them and went to see them in Buenos Aires and all around Argentina for a while with them. And that was lovely because we get on really well with the Argentinians. It's just not with our government, but they're good people. And then,
don't mention the war.
Don't mention the war. And great, you know, food-wise, it's great. You know, we have yogurt going on all the time, culturing yogurt, making soft cheese. We make all our own bread, so we have sourdough, brioche, all the sort of French goods like that, croissant. Christmas Day is always a big thing, so we do a big big breakfast with croissant and all sorts of pan brioche. And then we make our own ice cream, obviously. We do ice carving because everything's cold, so that's good. And we just, actually, on South Georgia this time, I was on a conservation project following a reindeer eradication project.
Okay.
We were killing rats, or I was cooking for a team killing rats, which was really interesting. We had lots of Kiwis on that project, although no Australians, but the Kiwis were great. And we had some reindeer left over that we were trying to kill as well. So we were shooting reindeer. And we cured reindeer, so we had some reindeer hams on the go. Great things with that. You know, there was some dry cured reindeer, and then we hung it to air dry like Brisalla and Parma ham, that kind of thing with reindeer. So you can play to your heart's content, really. You've normally got a lot of food because you have to build in lots of contingencies in case, you know, the ship doesn't arrive or you get stuck out for months or years if there's a war in the South Atlantic. So there's always a lot of food going on. And because of that, you can play to your heart's content. So it's a really good job for a chef. The only downside is there's not a lot of fresh fruit and veg.
We're restricted
by deliveries, really. And we can't have eggs in the field because of viruses that chickens could transmit to penguins. But once you get over the few restrictions, you know, you can do an awful lot with what you've got. And people are really grateful because they're one of the very few things that changes day to day for most people there is the food. People's work is often mundane or repetitive, or if they're a scientist, it's full on. For the support crew, you know, they may be on the radio all day, but the one thing that does change is what the chef does, is the menu. So you can really build up people's morale, you know, have a great time on a Saturday night, have a party, have a theme night. We did all sorts of insane things. We built a castle in the dining room at one station and had drawbridges and all wore sheepskins and painted our faces blue, and the medieval do. And or a French restaurant night where we all dressed up and we had a little way to go around with a dessert trolley. So you really can have lots of fun. I've loved it. I mean, I'd hate to think I could never go back. I'm hoping to get some work on a cruise ship next as a lecturer, so in Antarctic history, life and living in the Antarctic, and social history. So that's hopefully my next gig. I'm just building up some research on that now. So you never know. If anyone out there is listening, you may come across me on a cruise ship on the peninsula. So if you do, please say hello.
Hi, I am Fernando from Guadalajara, Mexico, and you are listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
This is Nikki from Canada, where everybody can get married. You're listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back, guys. You're with Shannon and Heath as we talk to Gerard Baker about life in Antarctica as a gay and just generally its culture. We've got a couple of messages in, one from Morgana Godwin on Facebook, who basically thought it was quite hilarious, the part where I said really, really, and she laughed profusely. Fantastic.
Profusely, that's a cool word.
Anna Gillies, who is related to me, is also commenting on Facebook. Thanks, older sister. On our messages online, we have Rebecca Lennon talking about the music and talking about how she looks forward to seeing Gerard's Antarctica yogurt, cheese and ice cream in the supermarkets sometime soon. Scotty says, I love the story. This guy is an inspiration and thank you for your words.
Wow. This hour just flew by, didn't it?
Flew by.
I just like blink and the hour's over.
Seat of our pads. No, I really enjoyed the show. I really enjoy talking to Gerard. I think he's...
Well, isn't he just a fascinating guy?
Totally, you know? Fascinating. And it's a shame that our show only has an hour because he had so much more to say about what it was like down there. And we could have gone further into his environmental work and especially his time with the BBC. There were just so many avenues. I think it was good that we focused definitely on the gay issues. But once again, if we had more time, I think we could have expanded it.
Well, maybe we can get him back and maybe do it either as a standalone podcast or maybe come back for the second show. Who knows?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yes.
Because he's definitely open to doing more. So if anybody would like to hear more about Antarctica, Gerard is definitely listening and ready to talk. Next week, I think we're in Belgium.
Oh, awesome.
I'm very excited about that. I'm hoping that will come through. If not, we are looking at Pitcairn Island. And in the very near future, we are looking at revisiting New Zealand as they get ready to have their first gay marriage due on August the 19th. Go home country. That's right. You're listening to two dirty migrants.
We're taking over the world.
We're spreading gay marriage. That's right. Thank God that's what we are spreading. We'd like to do a special thank you, a cool shout out to the World Wide Wave Gang, a special shout out to Squirrel once again. I mean, I'm stoked. I think it's great that she's a mum.
Me too, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the world needs great parents, and I think Daniel is very lucky to have Squirrel and Alki.
I don't think I've met Alki, but I've definitely met Squirrel.
Oh, anyone who can put up Squirrel.
Exactly.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.